The Scapegoats Podcast, where Josh, that's me, talks about some things Yu-Gi-Oh! For a little while. Back at it with another episode. Again, not on Monday. First of all, apologies. The schedule for release for this has been so bad lately. And I guess Wednesday is just like the new day for now. Today, basically, I wanted to cover a couple things. First, I want to talk about my new YouTube channel that I'm starting. Secondly, I want to do some actual Yu-Gi-Oh! Stuff, react to the OCG ban list and like TCG implications. And I hopped on Twitter very briefly, saw a lot of comments around something Team APS posted about like Floodgate cards. Want to react to that too. But I guess before getting into anything, I did say a little bit a while back that kind of like end of September was kind of the timeline for like when the Scapegoats, the podcast itself, was probably going to end. And that's still more or less true, but I kind of wanted to line everything up perfectly, right? I wanted everybody to be ready to do their new thing while dropping the last episode of the Scapegoats at the same time, and then kind of like being able to be like, hey, this is the new stuff we're doing. So even though this is ending here, go check this out and like check out these videos, etc. Doesn't seem like it's going to line up that way, at least on my end, right? Like, I wanted to have some YouTube videos up and ready to go or in the process, but it's just taking a while, right? So it's probably going to bleed in this podcast, until like the first or second week of October or so. And I still want to do a Q&A, of course, for that very last episode. So keep those saved up. I think next week I'm probably going to make like a post or maybe a couple just asking for absolutely anything you guys would ever want to ask. You know, I'm going to take my time, answer as many of them. Well, not as many of them as possible. All of them, every single one, no matter how long it takes. So that's the plan. This is not the last episode. We'll just keep going from there. Excuse me. Sorry. And I'm probably not editing this one either. So y'all just going to have to deal with my cough, or I could pop a cough drop or something. I don't know. Also shout out to all of you guys that have like continued to leave reviews and say just really nice things. It's awesome to see. I love it. I'm sorry. Some of you guys that have like sent out some DMs on Twitter and whatnot, as you can probably tell, not being a social media guy, I haven't really gotten on there that much. I will do my best to respond to everybody within a certain amount of days though. But you know, life, you know, got a lot going on, got this, the YouTube channel I'm working on, life stuff as well. So, you know, it is what it is. But I guess to kick things off as like the warm up, if you will, I wanted to talk about the new YouTube channel that I'm starting. And I don't expect, you know, I'm not like demanding that all of you guys go follow it, go check it out or anything like that. I just simply like want to use the platform to kind of talk about it because I'm excited about it. And, you know, you guys like Yu-Gi-Oh! Content. You guys have been incredibly supportive of me and of us throughout this entire thing. So just wanted to float it out there in case you guys weren't interested. So the short version is the link is in the description and there's no videos yet. And if that's all you want to hear, feel free to skip through until I start talking about the OCG ban list. That's totally cool. Link's in the description. But the long version is it's going to be called, I want to talk about what it is and like what I'm going to do on it, you know, ideally, as far as the plan. And it's called Book of Yu-Gi-Oh! Or The Book of Yu-Gi-Oh! One of the two. I'm not really sure which stylization I want to go with yet. And if you have been around Yu-Gi-Oh! For a while, you could probably tell that like that is definitely a play off of the book spell cards, right? Book of Moon, Book of Eclipse, Book of whatever, et cetera, et cetera. And the type of videos that I'm going for here, like it is going to be very different in a sense from the podcast that we've all done for the past year and a half. And they're going to be a lot, or at least at the start, a lot more like scripted video essay-ish type videos. If I had to give you guys a comparison, I'm sure a lot of you out there are subscribed to the Duel Logs, and they're going to be videos like that. He's probably the biggest Yu-Gi-Oh! YouTuber that makes those type of videos. Or you could also think, I don't know if he does it anymore, but DZ used to do a lot of just like discussion videos. Or like I've even seen Golden Nova do some stuff, history of Yu-Gi-Oh! Type stuff. That's kind of the plan. And I'm not really sure yet how it's going to go exactly. I'm working on the first video right now. It's not done, but it's, Like it's kind of tough to find the balance between like how much do I want to script something out and how much do I want to just kind of like get on and like talk, right? As far as the topics of these videos, it's going to be a lot of like rankings. I really like doing rankings of things. That's always really fun to go through that process. Top tens, discussions, tier lists, that type of thing. And it's going to be the type of video where like I'm not necessarily going to be on the camera, I think very much, if at all, at least initially, until I get in shape. You know, I gotta hit the gym a little bit first. But yeah, it's gonna be tough to strike a balance because as I've been writing the script, I haven't even finished it yet. It's like I think I'm gonna miss, as far as doing that YouTube channel, I'm gonna miss the personal side of it that I really like with the podcast that we've done the last year and a half, right? Like the personal connection, if you will. I know, like, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of you guys out there listening that I've never talked to. There's a lot of you guys though that have reached out, said something, become patrons, talked in there, and it's really cool. I love having that personal aspect of it and making those like highly scripted YouTube videos. You may not necessarily get as much of that. So maybe it kind of ends up being a split. Maybe some of it is scripted, maybe some of it is just kind of me talking, whatever. We'll kind of see, excuse me, how it goes from there. But the name too, Book of Yu-Gi-Oh! So Book of Moon is one of, if not my favorite spell card of all time. It's probably not my favorite. Forbidden Chalice, I think, is, but it's very close. It might be second. And the reason I went with this name is I think it makes sense. Is like I kind of tossed around a couple ideas of just doing like Josh or something, or like Emerson has kind of taken to calling himself, at least in Discord, like the Blue Goat. I don't know if he's going to brand himself as that going forward with his thing, maybe. So maybe I was thinking like I'd be the Red Goat or something. So it kind of like calls back to the scapegoats. But I wanted something that was going to like make it very clear what the channel was about while also not pigeonholing me into a certain type of content. So, you know, ranking Yu-Gi-Oh is something I threw out there. And like every video on the ranking Yu-Gi-Oh channel would probably have to be a ranking video, right? That's the only thing that makes sense. So that felt a little too pigeonholy. And it was actually Sienna who was on an episode last week, or maybe it was the week before, which if you guys like that episode, let me know. She's been asking me nonstop. She's like, what did everybody think about me being on there? I know a couple of you guys have already said you liked it. So she was very happy to hear that. But she actually came up with it. She was like, well, what about those book cards that you talk about, right? Like Book of Yu-Gi-Oh!, the Book of Yu-Gi-Oh! And it doesn't pigeonhole you in anything, right? It's very clear, like if you hear Book of Yu-Gi-Oh or Book of whatever, like it can evoke that type of like Book of Moon and whatnot. But also the channel is going to function as kind of like almost like a book, right? Just in a digital form, right? So any video on that channel is going to be like my thoughts about something, almost like I'm writing those things in a book. Every video is going to be a different chapter in this Book of Yu-Gi-Oh! And maybe I end up doing something physical with it at some point, but it doesn't pigeonhole you in anything, right? I can do rankings, right? That could be a chapter. I can do a top 10. I can do a discussion. I can do a deck profile even, right? And branch out to stuff like that, or even content where like I'm front and center, like on camera doing things maybe. So I don't know. This it feels really selfish for me to just be talking about all this and telling you guys all the details, but you know, just indulge me for a little bit. I wanted to talk about it. I'm excited about it. Like I said, there's no videos yet. So it's one of those things where like if you just type in Book of Yu-Gi-Oh on YouTube, you probably won't be able to find the channel. You'll either want to use the link in the description or search like @ Book of Yu-Gi-Oh and then filter it by channel and maybe you can find it that way. But yeah, one of the reasons I don't have any videos yet, of course, like I'm kind of getting into the swing of making these in the first place. Sometimes I can be a bit of a perfectionist. Sometimes I can also be a bit of a procrastinator every now and then. It's kind of like a mix of all of those things and just having a lot to do. And we don't have any like specific branding for it. So I don't have like a logo or anything. It is in the works, but you know, nothing yet. And I don't think I'm going to launch like with it professionally like that, I guess. I'm just going to kind of like upload the videos as we go, schedule wise. I would like to do weekly videos, but I think starting out, I'm probably just going to do like 2 a month. Like I'll commit to that. These are going to be like high production-ish type videos too, right? So it's not just like I'm doing now, just recording audio into a camera and boom, it's, you know, a video has to be created off of the audio that I say as I go through these cards, talk about them, and of course, inject my personal, really stupid dumb, idiotic brand of humor that is not funny at all. So no one's going to laugh at it, but it's going to be there. And yeah. So again, the only reason I bring this up now is I've been excited about it. And as much as I wanted to line up the timeline of the end of the Scapegoats with that, I figure if you guys wanted to check it out, subscribe, whatever, absolutely go for it. And it would make me launching the channel way easier, right? Because there's like kind of an audience there, I guess, a little bit. So, you know, no pressure. Just if those type of videos sound like something you guys might want to watch, or, you know, if you want to support, you know, just go check out the channel, hit the link, and I'll update you guys as soon as I start posting videos. So that'll be that. And of course, on the last episode, whenever Emerson gets his stuff together, shouts out his details, or I'll shout out his details and whatnot too. So yeah, I think that's my spiel on the channel. Just fun stuff, a lot of work, but an exciting opportunity. And just really glad that you guys are here, because I know there's a bunch of you that will go and subscribe even with no video, just off of me saying that. And that is just amazing. You guys are the best. You guys are seriously the best. So with that said, Let's just freaking jump into the OCG ban list here. I don't know how much people usually read into these OCG ban lists. You know, like, you know, it's not the TCG, it's two separate formats. So like theoretically, anything that happens in the OCG, it doesn't really matter. In a way, I know there's a lot of people that are like ban list purists though, and definitely believe that the entire game should kind of merge to one list. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think the game might be better worldwide if everything kind of merged together, especially if you guys are familiar at all with how like card prices and like set releases and whatnot work over there. It's a lot better, in my opinion, than I think over here. So maybe if everything merged, we would get that nice treatment as well. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Let's jump into this thing, kind of see, you know, OCG does have formats and cards ahead of us. So maybe this is like an indicator into what's to come and what we may need to watch out for. So jumping in here, we have four new bans. And I am not completely familiar with everything going on in the OCG and exactly what these cards were at, but I will do my best. We've got Agito, the Ancient Sentinel first, and Kelbeck, the Ancient Vanguard. So these two are both the millers that Tyr would used to play. Or I guess, you know, any deck that wants to mill cards would play. And I don't know about you guys, I am not sad to see these cards gone at all. But I will say, you know, we've kind of talked about it ourselves, you know, all of us together on the channel. And I think me and Emerson agreed here where like we thought the millers were the less problematic, right? It's the shufflers that we don't like. Mudora and Keldo, I believe is their names. So I'm not really sure in the OCG if they have those banned. I don't think so. I think the shufflers are still at one each and they just banned the millers. To me, if you want to play a card in your deck that doesn't do much else other than mill cards, and you want to play like a strategy, Light Sworn or something, Burning Abyss, you know, whatever, just get cards in the graveyard tier. Like, I'm cool with that. I don't think that's crazy. And especially if you only have one of each, like, yes, you theoretically have a very big power play of being able to hit Agito into Kelbeck and mill 10 cards off of both opponents' deck. But you can only do that once, right? You don't have the shufflers to reset things. You don't have three of each, so you can't do it on following turns. Having one of each of the two, I think, is fine. But in the OCG, I do know that tier limit was still a thing. I think it was still around. I doubt it was like the best deck or anything, but who knows? Maybe it was. So to them, I guess they figured that one of the millers was still too much. And, you know, in a way I can understand that, because that is a very strong play, getting 10 cards milled off the top of your deck. If you're not a graveyard reliant strategy, or you can't interact with the graveyard very much, like, it can be pretty devastating. But yeah, they hit that to zero. That's a long way to say that I have no problem with it. Although if it was me making the decision, I would probably keep the millers alive and just hit the shufflers instead. But it is what it is. Next, they have Chaos Ruler, the Magical Dragon. So this is the Synchro 8 that we got banned one list. I'm not really sure. This was at 3 in the OCG, it looks like, actually. They tell me that here. And it went to 0. So one thing that I thought was cool with this that I never put together in the first place is apparently this card is the light and dark dragon ruler. right? You've got Blaster, you've got Tidal, the other ones, Redox, Wind, but you didn't have a Light and Dark one. So this kind of functions as that being a Chaos card. And let me actually refresh my memory of this card because it's been gone for a while. This is the, like, you grab a Light or Dark, right? What is it? Chaos, Ruler of the Chaotic Magical Dragon. Let's see. Okay, first off, the secret for this card is still over $10, even though it's banned. Maybe people think it'll come back one day. Okay, yeah, if this card is Synchro Summoned, excavate top five of your deck. If you do, add an excavated Light or Dark monster to your hand and send the remaining cards to the graveyard. And you can banish one Light and one Dark to special summon this back out. Yeah, this card's crazy. I wasn't upset when it got hit in the first place and in the TCG, and I'm not going to be upset that it's hit in the OCG. This really has no implication on us because if it's being banned there, like maybe if it sticks at three there, maybe that's an indicator. They think that it's okay, so maybe it comes back for us. But yeah, just a generic level 8 synchro, which is one of the easiest levels to make, if not the easiest level to make, to just be able to excavate five, grab any Light and Dark, and then dump the rest of the graveyard. It's all pluses. Then you can link with this card, synchro with it, bring it back and link and synchro with it again, or just bring it back as material or, you know, whatever. That card's crazy. 100% deserves to be banned. And the last ban we have is Heroic Champion Rongo Miniad. I didn't play much in that format. That was one of the ones where I kind of took a bit of a break where Rongo was just, where that became the thing to do with Goki. Or was it Goki, or was it just like generic Warrior Turbo? It's probably just generic Warrior Turbo, which probably played, some Goki as well. Surprised that they still had this at three, but I guess, you know, that type of deck has been crap, power crept. Maybe it came back into the meta. Who knows? That card's also crazy. Definitely deserves to be banned. I don't think anybody's upset about that. Next up, we got Limited. So Tier Limits Cash Tira. This is the card that is part of both archetypes. Goes from three to one. This is more of a Tier Limit hit, right, than it is Cash Tira. I don't think Cash Tira really plays this card at more than one or two, if that. And this card doesn't do that much, right? It's just let me refresh it or refresh my memory of it. Tier Laments Cash Tira. And you know, this is another reason, just by the way, while I'm looking this up, that I'm kind of transitioning to that other type of content, right? Than rather, you know, keeping current, because like I haven't played Yu-Gi-Oh! in months, man. It's been a while. Would love to go to a locals and finally test out Labyrinth outside of just testing my own, doing my own test hands. But yeah, I just haven't played Yu-Gi-Oh! In a while. Format's really, it almost feels like it's kind of passed me by. You know, I could hop in though and relearn it, but you know, it is what it is, like where I'm having to look up Tier Limits Cash Tira. But yeah, during the main phase, quick effect, special summon this card from your hand, and if you do, banish a Cash Tira Tier Limits card from hand or grave. If it summons, send the top three cards of either player's deck to the graveyard. Cool for tier. If this card is sent to the graveyard by card effect, send top two cards of your deck to the graveyard. Yeah, whatever. So I don't know that that actually is going to do much to anything that's playing it, but I guess it's like less consistency for tier. Plus you're hitting the millers, and this card also theoretically mills. So looks like that's the strategy they're going with. I don't think anybody's going to complain that that card's at one. Block Dragon. This is another one. So like here it says it went from two to one, which is wild to me because like, how is this card legal? I thought they brought this back to one, not went from two copies to one copy when I first saw that. So that's crazy. I mean, I guess Adamancipator is not a thing. That's really like the only deck that can really capitalize on it, right? Or the only like very popular deck. Like I'm sure there's roguish things that can as well. But yeah, that card's crazy. Every now and then you hear some talk about bringing back Block Dragon. I'm very against that. It's a free special plus search like three cards if it's linked away. Plus it's what, targeting protection? Let's just double check here. Yeah, Block Dragon. Cannot be normal summon set, blah, 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 blah. But banishing three. Oh, rock monsters you control cannot be destroyed except by battle. Yeah, this card is just, that card is nuts. Card does too much. So honestly should be banned, but if nothing's playing it at two, well, I mean, something had to be playing it, right? Or else they wouldn't have hit it to one. So think that card will be banned in the future. Don't think that card's ever going to come back, especially with Adamancipator cards legal. Card's just nuts. What else we got, though? is a long breath in. Lots of semi limits. Okay, so first up, Rescue Ace Airlifter, going from 3 to 2. This is probably the first hit that like maybe has some implications here, because Rescue Ace is a very good deck. And it's something I looked into a lot. If you're a Rescue Ace player, I respect it. This deck is cool. This is the one, Rescue Ace Airlifter. If it's normal or special, you can add a Rescue Ace spell from your deck to your hand. And when your opponent activates a monster effect on the field, you can tribute this card from your hand or face up field, special summon a Rescue Ace monster from your hand, except for itself. So it's a search on summon. It's a level 4, so you can normal it out. And as a quick effect, you can special another Rescue Ace from your hand. So this does give you some play on turn 0 when your opponent is going first, because if they activate a monster effect, you have this in hand. You can use it, get another Rescue Ace out, and kind of like do some things from there. Preventer, I think, is the one that is the Book of Moon, so you can ideally like get that out somehow and book something on your opponent's turn 0. Going from 3 to 2, honestly, I don't think that's like super impactful, but I do know from my brief time messing with Rescue Ace, like the deck, the biggest problem I had with the deck was consistency, right? And opening the starters. And like, I felt like it was like mandatory. You had to play Prosperity in the deck, or maybe Extravagance, but a lot of them were making use of stuff in the extra deck for like super poly targets, some link plays, whatever. So like hitting kind of the consistency of it, I do think is more devastating than hitting something like the power, because as long as you can resolve your defender to set 4 from deck, you're in a pretty good spot. But yeah, I mean, Airlifter, you know, it's a searcher and your spell has the one that summons from deck and tribute. So this is a starter. You have one less now. It definitely doesn't put the deck out by any means, but it looks like just a check to it. And who knows, maybe that happens here too, but Rescue Ace, from my understanding, is not as good here as it was in the OCG. I think some of the reason behind that is, at least in my opinion, kind of being around for a while in the game, OCG usually likes to play slower, I think, than the TCG does, especially here in America. Like, it's all about combo here, it seems like, for the most part. Like, as a control player myself, like, I definitely feel like in the minority most of the time when I end up talking to different Yu-Gi-Oh players. It's like, and I mean, even just within the scapegoats, right? You look at Cam playing Branded, Drytron. I mean, Branded is, you know, more of a, you know, it's not as much of a combo, I guess, but like, you know, stuff like Drytron, Emerson especially, super combo heavy. ABC, Tri-Brigade, Leerlusk, and I'm blanking on the other stuff, but, you know, et cetera. So, and Max C being legal at 3 may have a lot to do with that, honestly, because it is, you know, regardless of what people say, it is a double-edged sword, in that it'll hit control decks, it'll hit combo decks, but it is a check, right? If you have Max C and your opponent's trying to combo and they don't have a way around it, you know, it does check it. So maybe that's part of the reason over there, but, you know, here with the game being, I would say, like a little faster, more combo oriented, that's where decks like Rescue Ace are going to struggle with, right? Because even though they have a good setup with a set 4, it's not like the cards they set are completely broken. They're good. Don't get me wrong. They're good, but they're not floodgates, right? So your opponent can play through them. Sometimes you can get hit with blowout cards like evenly and whatnot. So, you know, it is what it is, I guess. I don't even know the point I was trying to make there, but oh yeah, just that, you know, it looks like they checked it over there. Maybe they check it over here too. Who knows? I would say probably not though, because I think it was better over there. So 3 to 2, Pearly Delicious Memory from 3 to 2. I'm not going to pretend to know how Pearly works intimately because I've never played the deck myself. I took a look at it. I saw that it takes a spell card plus a discard to play. I do not like investing multiple cards. So it's not my type of deck, but I don't think that's going to matter. We had something get hit over here too. Didn't matter. Is Pearly the best deck right now, especially after the Cash Tier hit? Maybe, probably, right? But yeah, I mean, if it is the best deck, like, it's going to get hit probably harder than just Delicious Memory to 2. Rivalry of Warlords from 3 to 2, that's cool. I don't think that matters, really. you know, like, you still play 2 of it. Like, I guess you see it less if you're really relying on Rivalry of Warlords, but whatever, 3 to 2 is never really a big hit. Gearsu, the Orcist Mech Knight, was at 1 for some reason over there. They brought it back to 2. Supreme King Dragon Darkworm, that is the Pendulum, was at one over there, brought that back to two. Dragonic Diagram from one to two. I would love to see that card back in the TCG. I think that card is very fun. It can do some crazy things. You know, I'm sure it's good and stuff like Dino, as always. But, you know, I just I like that card. I like the True Kings. I like the True Dracos. I don't like the Floodgates that True Dracos plays, but I like the rest. And then Fluanderies and the Magnificent Map from one to two. Fluanderies has been getting more popular lately. I think it won the last YCS. Cancun? Yeah, and I think, did it beat Unchained? It might have been Unchained, but I don't know. Unchained's also very popular. Or is Unchained the best deck right now? I've heard some talk about that, but I don't know. I doubt it. But yeah, map back to two, whatever. If they had it at one and it didn't do anything, you know, bringing it to two is not really going to like put Flu on the map. But Flu is always a good deck. Don't get me wrong. And then Unlimited going from two to three, Armageddon Knight. Yeah, I mean, that card does lead to a lot of crazy stuff. But, you know, if they brought it back from two to three, whatever. Super Samurai Motorbike, cool. Prank Kids Mam Mam U. I do not like that card very much. I do not really want to see that card back. I don't like Prank Kids just being like a generic engine that anything can play as long as you can normal summon. It does work really well with Adventure, which I like, but like I don't really like that. It's very annoying to play against. And then Trickstar Light Sage from two to three. I wish Trickstar was a little bit better, would get some new support. That is Trickstar Sky Striker was a deck that did feel pretty good to play, playing the advantage game. But you know, nobody likes Droll plus Reincarnation, so I doubt there's like that many Trickstar supporters out there. But and Light Stage is just kind of a generic like link to whenever you need it, which is why I don't think it's hit anymore in the TCG, but yeah, honestly, like I kind of talked a lot about that somehow. I'm really good at rambling, but the only thing that I would say, like maybe indicates something for us is like Rescue Ace being hit. But like I said, it's definitely better over there than it is over here or than it was over here. Maybe it's risen in popularity or gotten better since then. Excuse me. And I don't know that anything else on here matters. Pearly, like if it's the best deck right now, it'll probably get hit on the next ban list. At least a little bit. But, you know, for me, like I'm never a fan of like completely killing out decks. I don't ever think that's the way to go. I'd rather, you know, and I don't even really like consistency being the hits either. I'd rather you hit the power of a deck and bring its power ceiling down somehow and make it as consistent, just not as strong. And I think if you did that across the board with a lot of the best decks, introduce some new decks that are strong and just keep hitting things like that, I think you end up with a better format and a much more diverse format, which I think is a good thing. So yeah, that is the OCG ban list. And before we go, I don't hop on Twitter much, but when I do, and when I did most recently, I saw Paul from Team APS tweeted something. It's a hot take. It's a Yu-Gi-Oh hot take. I kind of want to react to it a little bit because I've seen just as like a quick scroll, like a bunch of people quote tweeting this. And he said, my hot Yu-Gi-Oh take is that Sacky blowout cards and floodgates actually do have a place in the game. Sure, they're annoying as hell, but personally, I think a stolen win here and there keeps things chaotic and exciting. Plus, it's not like we're playing for money or anything anyway, LMAO. And he did attach some pictures. So one being Dimension Shifter, two being Eradicator Epidemic Virus, three being Dimensional Barrier, and four being Super Polymerization. And the first thing that jumps out to me about this tweet is that Super Poly is in here, and I despise that card. I hate Super Polymerization. If I had to pick any of those four cards to get banned immediately, which and that meant the other three would be alive and at three forever, I would pick Super Poly. Not for any logical reason, but just because I despise that card. And I've been saying it ever since it came back to one, and it came back to three. I just don't like cards that say you can't respond, which I know multi-role has the same thing, but that's different. That's different. But yeah, so Dimension Shifter, Erad. I guess kind of like talking about the take itself, you know, I think one of the more reasonable ones here is like Hard Leg, which I'm a big fan of his videos, by the way. Commented saying he can see both sides. He's fine with some blowout cards and floodgates as long as they are situational. Only some decks auto lose to D Shifter or D Barrier. If yours does, then you should prepare for it or consider a different deck. And then said some other stuff too that says one of three, but it's not giving me the rest of the thread. And I think I kind of agree in a sense. So like in Yu-Gi-Oh's purest form, I do not think floodgates exist. I don't like cards that basically say if you have this card on the field, you win the game. And it's really hard to just like balance decks around that because there's always a counter in a way. For example, if somebody flips Skill Drain and you lose, right? When somebody flips Skill Drain, the game turns into like who has the biggest monster on the field, usually. Because if you don't have access to your monster effects, most decks are run through their monster effects. Most decks' removal comes from their monster effects. And if you can't activate those, you can't make your plays, you can't combo, it's going to be hard for you to even attack over like a 2500 3K or 3500 Eldritch or something. Let's say you're playing Eldritch. And like, is that fair? I mean, it's hard to say. Like, theoretically, it kind of punishes you for not playing a deck that can be prepared for that scenario. But the problem with modern Yu-Gi-Oh! Is decks are so like hyper specifically built that you can't prepare for scenarios like that. I always like to draw comparisons to Magic the Gathering, which is probably not the best idea because I'm not a good Magic player by any stretch of the imagination. I played in like one or two tournaments, maybe, and only modern format. But that's kind of something I found there is there are times when people will play cards for certain situations and that they just exist in the deck. But like you don't really see people going around maining like three copies of Cosmic Cyclone just in case somebody has a floodgate. You don't really see people going around maining a copy of Eldritch the Golden Lord to just end up in the grave at some point. You know, even though Eldritch, like theoretically, is just removal. It's a minus one to remove a card from your opponent's side of the field, and then can, you know, take a spell trap to summon itself back, essentially. Like it's a card that can work in like most decks, but people aren't going to play that for the situation of, oh, if my opponent has Skill Drain, then I just have to stall out the game till I get this out to get to the Golden Lord in my deck, and then I can compete with his big monsters, right? It's just, and the reason for that is because Yu-Gi-Oh is so fast that your entire game and match almost is almost completely determined by what you open, if not 100% completely determined by the 5 to 6 cards that you open. And if you're playing against a combo deck and at least two of those 5 to 6 cards aren't hand traps or breakers, you've just lost, which means that you can't have cards in your deck that are like, well, if I get to it at a certain point for this specific situation, I can use it because you have to have a hand trap. You have to have a breaker. You have to have engine. You have to have a sided card that is like a silver bullet that beats your opponent's deck. And you have to max out on those things or you are making your deck worse because Yu-Gi-Oh! And the entire game's axis revolves almost completely around that first turn. So, again, kind of back to the original point, I think Yu-Gi-Oh! In its purest form, where this is not the case, where your opening five cards do not determine the entire game, I think in a game like that, floodgates don't exist necessarily, right? Because you don't need them, right? I'd rather just cards be interactive, but they do have a place, I think, in today's Yu-Gi-Oh! Because there are less one cards that can stop opponents from doing things. And again, everything is so heavy on like what you open. Every deck is so freaking powerful and just can just do so many things that like it almost feels fair to have a skill drain. It's like your deck with one card can not only break my entire board, but also completely kill me, right? And so, if that's fair, then like, why can't I open a skill drain to stop you from doing something? Why can't I open Rivalry or Gozen or D-Shifter to stop you from just, you know, going off and killing me to extend the game, essentially? You know, I've found that when I play Yu-Gi-Oh!, one of the reasons I gravitated to Labyrinth is it's a deck that can extend the game. I want to play an extended game. I want to grind. I want to make decisions. And I want to get into like a tactical strategic battle of the minds and of interaction with you. I don't want to open my five cards and then watch, you know, Cam like activate a Drytron sending Benten and then realize that I've just lost the game. I don't like that. I don't like it. And floodgates help you get there. So to me right now, Floodgates absolutely have a place in the game, whether I like them or not. But there are some specific Floodgates that I don't like, Dimension Shifter being one of them. But there's a difference here between Dimension Shifter and something like Skill Drain. I don't like lingering Floodgates that cannot be responded to, that can be activated as quick effects on any turn, right? That includes something like Drolan Lockbird. But you look at let's compare Dimension Shifter to, let's not even say Skill Drain, let's say Macrocosmos, right? Because those cards essentially have the same effect. Macrocosmos is a continuous spell, or continuous trap, excuse me. So there are many more ways to out it. You can remove it with a monster effect. You can remove it with any destruction effect, with like a spell trap, an MST, a cosmic cyclone. You can do that before the card even resolves if you chain to its activation. And in the case of Macrocosmos, you can actually Solemn Warning it, which is really funny. And then you look at Shifter, and it's like the counters to that card are a lot less, right? If you are going first and your opponent activates Shifter, I mean, you have to have Called by the Grave or Crossout Designator. If you don't have either of those two cards, which most people will play Called by the Grave, but like not everyone's going to play Crossout Designator with a Dimension Shifter as a target in the deck, then you're just under Shifter and you can't do anything about it, right? You're just under it, not only for your turn, but the next turn as well. Whereas Macrocosmos, once it is removed, it is gone, but you cannot remove Dimension Shifter. It's just an effect that once the effect resolves, it lingeringly applies to, you know, for two turns, which is insane. So to me, that's like the biggest argument. If you have a format where Floodgates are really good, and I mean like heavy Floodgates, right? Not like a deck that is citing a Floodgate because it's good specifically in that deck. I mean like a format where like Floodgates are all over the place. Or even if there is a deck that is citing something like that, you can plan for that, right? Just play back row removal. Back row removal makes its way into the main deck if Floodgates do too, and there you go. But with Shifter, it's just a lot less, right? Back row removal, you can try to go second and go like Evenly's, Lightning Storms, MSTs, Cosmics, Twin Twisters, Harpy's Feather Duster you have now, Red Reboot even. But against Shifter, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing, right? It's like, it's just either Called by the Grave or it's Crossout Designator. Unless you can somehow get a negate up before they do it, but they can also just do it in the frickin' draw phase. And theoretically, maybe you can punish them with like a triple tack or something, or a triple thrust, whatever you want to say. But like the counters are just a lot less. So D Shifter, I think, needs to go 100%. Eradicator Epidemic Virus, let's talk about that next one. That card's also freaking insane. I don't think it's as broken in Labyrinth as a lot of people think it is. It's a pretty greedy play if you've never played Labyrinth before, at least to me, in my experience with it. It's very greedy to go for something like this and set it turn one. I don't think it's good in the main deck. I think you want to side it anyway. And at that point, it's like you have to open very specifically. You have to resolve everything through Ash, through things like Bell, which completely stop it and leave the Labyrinth player in a really bad spot. And if you do all that, then you get rewarded with winning the game, essentially. But, you know, which is really strong. But honestly, like, I don't really think that card needs to be hit because, I don't think it's good in the main deck. But if you want to ban Eradicator Epidemic Virus, fine, because it is kind of the same thing. It's like it's not a continuous trap. So there's no like effect to remove. You can't ash it. You can't do whatever. You can't destroy it to make its effect not apply. It just applies for multiple turns. So by that logic, like totally okay with banning it. I just think it requires like too much setup to, I guess, really be ban worthy. Maybe D Barrier. I don't know. In my personal Labyrinth list, that's what I'm playing instead of maining Eradicator Epidemic Virus. If I have the opportunity, I'd rather just set D Barrier because it's less conditional. You don't have to like, you know, tribute a monster or anything like that. D Barrier is pretty crazy. I don't think that card really should have ever been printed. And I think Yu-Gi-Oh is probably better without that card because same thing, lingering effect for the turn that you cannot ash, you cannot bell, you cannot chain destruction to it. You have to have a hard Omni negate that you can activate immediately. And if you don't, you're getting debarriered. And if you're getting debarriered, you probably lose. And then Super Poly, I despise because you cannot respond. And that's that. But yeah, let's see some other quote tweets, though. I want to see what other people are saying. Oh, no, I don't want to reply. I want to see the quote tweets. Okay, whatever. Actually, I've probably been talking for a long time. But that's my take on it. I agree with him in a way. They are annoying to be used against you, but I definitely think there's like different intricacies for different ones. I don't think you can like lump all floodgates together into a singular pile because they all do different things. And but by and large, like as long as combo decks are ravaging things, I definitely think floodgates have an effect because or have a place in the meta, because again, it's like, you know, talking to a combo player, why is it fair, quote unquote, fair for you to take 5 to 10 minutes, do a million things and put up a board that I can't break, right? But it's not fair for me to set a card which takes 10 seconds and then pass to you and then flip it, right? I don't really think either one is any more skillful than the other either, because a lot of times with like combo decks, yes, there are non-linear combo decks which kind of break the mold, but a lot of them too are like, hey, memorize this line. Or if you have these cards, you can do this, right? And this is the optimal thing and it's known. And as long as you can memorize it, you're good. I'm not saying, again, either one is more skillful than the other or even like skillful at all. Maybe nothing in Yu-Gi-Oh is skillful. After all, it's just putting cards down on a frickin' mat. Like how skillful can that get? You know, obviously I'm joking. There's a lot of skill involved in Yu-Gi-Oh. But you know, it's, I think it's two sides of the same coin. I don't think it's one camp is right. One's not. The only thing I disagree with what Team APS is saying or Paul is that a stolen win here and there keeps things exciting. He says chaotic and exciting. Chaotic for sure. I'm with you. Exciting. I don't think so. I don't like to be in a situation where I've done everything correctly. I've made good decisions, like in a grindy game, for example, and my opponent top decks the exact thing that they need to win. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't excite me. It doesn't make me appreciate the chaos of Yu-Gi-Oh at all. It makes me feel like I got robbed. Right. But you know, maybe that's one of those things, just to, maybe he's saying it like it keeps you on your toes, which I guess makes sense, but you know, whatever. Oh, here's what Hardleg was saying. Let's see. The cards shown above are different from cards like Skill Drain or Vanity's Emptiness. The former shuts down 95% of decks, while the latter can be used by every deck in every format. It's the universality that makes them toxic and worthy of a ban in my eyes. That's another argument of like floodgates being okay if they're conditional. I guess I agree. I don't know. That being said, I'm open to a format where all major floodgates and blowout cards are banned as long as we're hitting all of them. So like Zombie World, yes, that's also a floodgate. Dark Ruler No More, yes. Summon Limit, Winda, yeah, all that good stuff. But anyway, I don't want to ramble on too much longer. Point of this episode, I wanted to talk about some Yu-Gi-Oh stuff. So I did. And new channel link is in the description. Thank you guys for indulging me on that that selfish spiel, just talking all about what I want to do. And again, apologies for like the schedule being so freaking hectic. I feel like I haven't done really a good job of like communicating everything to you guys and even really getting back to all of you guys that have said things in terms of support and whatnot. But just know that I do appreciate it. And I don't know if I said it before, but I have a really cool project that I'm also kind of working on to kind of commemorate the scapegoats a little bit. Wish it was something I could give out to everybody, but you know, I only have so much money. So I definitely can't do that. I'd go bankrupt, but I will keep you guys updated with that. But yeah, so this will come out on Wednesday or Thursday, Wednesday, I think. And look forward to hopefully an episode coming out on Monday as well. And I'll probably start the prep for the Q&A episode then. So keep those questions ready. And thank you to anyone and everyone who checks out the channel. Another thing I should say too, is like the Patreon for the scapegoats. Of course, you guys already know, I've already said, you know, if you want to be a part of it, like, you know, go for it. I haven't really been in there much, but like, don't donate more than $1. And honestly, I wouldn't even do that because it is going to shut down as soon as the scapegoats does as well. I will be making a new one for my channel, but it is going to be very bare bones at first. So it's not going to be there yet. It's not going to be there yet. But yeah, with that said, I will finally quit rambling, and I hope all of you guys have an awesome rest of your day. Shout out to each and every single one of you, especially everyone that's still here listening, leaving reviews, talking to me on Twitter, or left a review or said anything on Twitter before. You guys are the best. Y'all are the goats. This is Josh signing out. Catch you later. Or I mean in the next one.